Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Incantation Nation. I am your enchantress, Hedera Bynes-Wood, and it is Friday, January 8th, on a very consequential Friday evening in 2021. This is episode 2 for the year, and it is quarantine week 43. Happy quarantine, Erin. Thank you. I thought for fun for this year we would start including where we are in the moon phases so that folk can recalibrate their brain holes and their spell work for what needs to be going on this week. But it is waning crescent for you percentile types. It is 22%. Tonight we have Bradwick on drums. We've got Neve on back vocals. You wish you had what?
A little sound effect.
You wish you had what? Brrr. I want one of those little red plastic sound maker keychains you can buy in that gargantuan waiting line at Cash Wrap at Barnes & Noble that gives you like 20 different sound effects. I need that, especially the air horn. Target! I need that. Okay, our lead antagonist for tonight, since, you know, I've got crickets instead of applause for my joke attempts. Lead antagonist is Neve Laughingbrook. How are you, Nev?
I'm good. How are you, Mama?
I don't know. I'm kind of scattered. I'm scattered, but you know how I do.
I don't know who
Oh my God, your voice sounds so tiny when you want to be sweet, and I like it. Anyway, our celebrity guest for this evening is Ashra Soft Sorrows. Ashra, say hey.
Hello.
She is an attorney at Parker, Banner, Kent, and Wayne. Just kidding. She does 900-level phone service during the apocalypse. No, I'm not giving out her number. Do you want to say hey to people and tell them what you do and how we found each other?
No, how maybe we found not each other.
Part. I'm kidding.
Well, I mean, that part's not too bad.
That's true. I guess you are prone to telling the truth, and I tend to fabricate. It's got to be that 33% Celtic magic in me, I'm sure. No, introduce yourself and tell us what you want to talk about.
Sure. So I'm Ashra, and I do kind of want to say how I found you because I just think it's a cute little story. But I used to, I lived like 2 miles from the shop, and I just never realized that it was there until one day, you know, I drove the same street, 115. That was my whole commute for 10 minutes. And I was just stuck at that red light one day, and I turned to the right, and I saw this beautiful witch riding a broom in the window, and I was like, I need to be in that store. Once I got out of the way,
And you were
the rest
the
was history after that.
It was. But past this prologue, because that shit will happen again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, so let me lay out some, well, no, go ahead and tell folks what is it that you had the desire to talk about this evening, and then I'm going to lay out a couple sudden parameters for what's going to happen for this evening, because chaos, chaos, chaos!
Sure, of course. So after, like, hanging out with you 2 nights ago and seeing everything in our country unfold, and even talking with your family, seeing Johan, I think it struck me that we're all kind of uncomfortable right now, and that's really important for us to be globally in our country, in our personal lives. It's really important for us to be uncomfortable if we're going to see any change. And I don't know why, just like seeing Johan and his experience with like seeing the news, they hit me like that, but he was just so open. And even Neve's response, like her laughter, I was like, you know, we're all just uncomfortable with these images, what's going on. But we need to be uncomfortable because there are people who are dealing with that uncomfort 24/7. And we can't just turn our screens off because it's not pleasant.
Sorry, I just had the cats decide to have a fight on my lap, but that's appropriate because usually it transitions. One of the cats comes by and either pukes on the carpet audibly. I can't mute myself. It's not a high rating type podcast. But yeah, there was about to be some fur flying and mauling happening, which actually would have been on brand and people would have known clearly that they were on the right podcast. So let me stay on track. The sudden parameters, because there's always some shit that pops off 30 seconds, legitimately, before we go on air, some shit pops off. And then I've got some words about spell work, because this is related to both our topic as well as what we may be seeing roll out over the next couple days. Perhaps, maybe, hopefully not, but I'm going to say this now. Twitter broke up with Donald Trump this evening and permanently disabled and banned him from creating and using accounts on their platform. Now, so going to probably pressure Zuckerberg, who, even if he is a pod-born freak, he will probably feel pressure to do the same thing because, you know, there are competing ethics happening here with these fledgling communication systems. Now, what that means for us on Incantation Nation is that, no, I'm tipping my hand as a mom. All right, fine. I'm a mom. Security is a big deal for me because I've been a single mom all my life, and I have 4 offspring and very often several pagans in my house at all times. And I take the warding of my property and the protection of my charges quite seriously. Anyone who has ever seen me fillet someone who has come into the shop and either disrespected or endangered any one of my people, because we are targeted, we are a targeted population. I know that still shocks some people, but those of us who have been in the game for a minute know that these are potentialities, eventualities. But Donald Trump having his Twitter taken away is analogous to basically when you are doing baneful or protective magic, i.e. you are trying to protect yourself or neutralize a threat that is coming for you or family members or friends or loved ones. When you begin to see results from your baneful magic, and bane is a very old word for death,
magic. Not that I'm killing people to limit that that type of work. But prices are negotiable. Anyway, once the person you're working on begins to feel the heat, they start squirming. Now, beginning to feel the heat happened a couple months ago for Trump. Now, what happened after A.G. Barr jumped ship? What happened after Pence said, you know, I'm not really feeling like being your errand boy? That's when Trump lost his fucking mind, and the next thing you know, he does some ignorant shit, deliberate and ignorant, and he is now responsible for thousands of children of color in cages, upwards of 350,000 COVID-related deaths, and now 5 deaths and probably counting from his coup attempt on the Capitol that happened on Wednesday. So he is now furious, albeit looking, you know, for a way to reach a larger audience on Parler, but he is furious. And none of us knows for sure whether or not he has had all of his presidential toys taken away. But I, for one, because I am a leader in the community and I hold myself responsible for taking care of my people, we're going to have an abbreviated show this evening. And then we're going to record the continuation of this show live on Monday. And likely add in some additional conversation about it, because I know many, many people saw our advertisement about our link for the show tonight and discussing feeling uncomfortable. The purpose for discomfort and what it can do for you personally as well as for your magic, the role and different anthropological angles on chaos versus order, which is very much a guiding principle on those who belong to northern tribes or northern traditions of magic from the Germanic faith. But I wanted to let everyone know that we're not abbreviating the topic. We're gonna call this the tapas portion of the show. And then on Monday, we will do the full entremesas. So that's what we'll do. We'll do a full show on Monday in addition to what we can get discussed by 9 o'clock, but that's when Rachel comes on, guys. And yes, I watch Rachel Maddow, Lawrence O'Donnell, and Brian Williams. That's just my jam. I consider myself well informed. Okay, that said, Bradwick, I know you must be screaming inside your head about Trump having his Twitter shut off. How do you feel, and are you okay?
I'm totally fine with that. But I also kind of think it's a too little too late type scenario. It's like you could have done this months ago, like, I don't know, maybe back in March or back when we had the stuff where, what was it, Charlottesville, when he was calling those rioters, like, oh, yeah, there's some nice people there. Mm-hmm. Like, that could have been mm-hmm. a clue there. I mean, you know, and just there's so many times that he could have been shut down that way. And it's just like, okay, someone, whoever's running Twitter, who's ever running, well, Zuckerberg, you know, I guess it's like, oh, you know what, guys? Yeah, he's only got 13 days left. We might as well give it to them. Like, go ahead and just shut him down. Like,
mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I also say, like, okay, thank you? Question mark?
Okay, like, good. I would say next time lead with thank you. Always lead with gratitude. And then you can bitch about the dissatisfaction of what that all is, you know. I just look
right.
forward to his cramped art from prison, to be honest. No.
Oh, boy.
Mother, we need to just go, like, watch a damn after-school special or something. I feel like I'm hitting on no cylinders this evening. Oh, I know why. Because everyone's watching the news now that I mentioned that Donald Trump got his ass shut down on Twitter. Nice. Okay. Ashra, what do you think about the Donald being booted off of Twitter, suspended from Facebook / Instagram? What do you think about that?
Yeah,
what's
I mean,
your
I,
take on it?
I think Bradwick kind of said it best. It's like a little bit too late at this point. You know, the damage has been done. His words have already caused a little too much damage. Like, I'm grateful that he's done mm-hmm. talking at this point, but yeah, I wish it would have been done a lot sooner.
Yeah. It's true. But you know why they did what they did? Because he had already begun planning his whole Inauguration Day surprise, which he had scheduled to get geared up on the 17th. And evidently it was going to be like a weekend thing, 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th. I don't know. And what the bigger guns were going to be for that party, I don't know. But he needed to be shut down because he was already releasing beats and need to know information for their next quote unquote rally. So, yeah. So, Ashra,
yeah.
Do you do baneful magic at all?
Do I do baneful magic?
Yeah, it's a personal question, but I feel like, you know, we need to be honest.
I wouldn't know how to classify what I do. I feel like it's all very situational, but I do feel like it's changing a lot as of recent, especially by talking to you and people like Bradwick.
Am I a positive influence or a negative? Never mind.
Oh, positive, positive. I think I have more motivation to do things. Like I think I was always so focused on, like, it has to be done right. I have to have all the right things or else there's, like, no point. And now I realize that is not the case at all. So I think that's been a lot more freeing, I would say, even.
Mm-hmm. So does the amount of your discomfort, because when you approached me and said, I really want to talk about the value or the richness of feeling uncomfortable, and the first thing I wanted to know was, okay, well, yes, check plus. How do you see discomfort informing your witchcraft? Like, what opportunity do you see happening there?
For me, it's all about getting support and asking for help. I've never felt comfortable doing that or even speaking up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even in our group chats, I've always been quiet because I don't feel comfortable. But I think in our smaller chat, for some reason, I felt, I don't know, a lot more open, and I got to know people a little more personally and realize that a lot of people go through the same things I do, and they want to help. And I think what also hit me, too, is that I love to help people, and I would be upset if someone that I cared about, like, didn't give me the chance to help them. And so I think we need to allow people around us to help.
So this is like a twofer. I feel like this is the bonus to the bonus, because what you're talking about is for help, articulating your discomfort and then being receptive to that help. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Holy shit. You're a damn genius, Private Girl. Okay. So how do you see this potentially changing your magic? Do you see it lessening the frequency of your spell work if you're getting your therapies through the talkingness instead of through the spell castingness? How do you see this influencing your spell work specifically?
I think it's going to make it more frequent. I think you presented, I don't know, the analogy or a depiction of like different kinds of pagans or witches, and you know, you could be the one who's living alone in the countryside by yourself. And I think that's where I kind of always saw myself, you know, like a little hedge witch by myself, doing my own thing. But I don't think it ever felt totally comfortable. And I think now I realize why, because our village is so important and we need each other for things to work and to be stronger. And I think I'm starting to realize that now.
Yeah. Sorry. Continue.
So yeah, I think I was so also like boxed in, and now I'm like learning new types of magic and new ways to do things from the people we talk to every day and things I never learned. So I'm excited to try new things and experiment with new things and see what feels right.
Wait, are you talking about shopping for magic? Because that's freaking awesome.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, right? And the thing is, when we talk to other people, it's not just that we are articulating our inner dynamic and expressing ourselves as voiced beings. We encourage an engagement between our magic and others' magic. And then there is an exchange that can happen, if only a partial exchange. Everything else you get consent for. But it's your shopping for perspective, and not just perspective, but solutions potentially to our angst or our problem. And, you know, the thing that happens most with folks coming into the shop for advice was that there were, you know, tell me how to do a spell for this, or tell me how to do, and it's like, first of all, I don't do tell me very well. Second of all, I can direct you to some places that you can do some research on how to do the mechanics of a thing. But first and foremost, we need to break down the rickety imposed structure of previous mindset and yank that out of there, gut that house, you know, rip down all the rotted floorboards, the rotted sheetrock, you know, open up the space. You guys watch Home and Garden TV. Same thing with your magic. You need to think about your life as being structured and organized and ordered around previous societal, cultural, institutional structures. And in some respects, this is to a lesser degree for folks who have grown up pagan, like myself and all four of my kids. But for people who are in recovery, and it's usually recovery from Abrahamic faiths, which is Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, they are largely unaware that they have had structures and constructs, cultural constructs, superimposed onto their natural state, their default state, and that while that provides an organization, costs you the ability to trust your instinctual magic. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So I was absolutely deep and excited when you said, I want to talk about discomfort. I want to talk about the importance of feeling uncomfortable. And I became excited about that because I realized that this is absolutely perfect for this past week
in the history of the United States, because there is a tremendous amount that can be done in chapters of chaos. And by chapters of chaos, I do mean personal chaos, household chaos, family chaos, employment chaos, national, international, global
chaos.
There are opportunities there. It is a function of the Abrahamic construct to see chaos as negative and dangerous and bad and dark or black. And we're here to get that untwisted and discuss it tonight and Monday night so that you can see that we were not
afraid of the dark and the chaos once. Matter of fact, the closer we are to the womb time, and I'm talking about ages, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and it's not until we start school does the order component really get drilled into our
lives. But the closer we are to birth, the more primal our drivers, the more primitive our ways of knowing,
and the more likely
that we are to trust
what we get
from those ways of knowing.
I mean,
and I think everyone has seen a baby or a child recoil from one from someone, and you've said to yourself, "Oh, hold up,
what's this baby
know that I don't know? Let's get the fuck out of here."
I mean, do you know what I'm saying? We are a
little animal.
I'm still a little animal. But there is a place
and a function
for chaos.
And
by the time we finished discussing it on Monday
evening,
hopefully you will be able to
see
coding
for the Matrix. You will begin to see the steel girding in the buildings that hold it up. And that you don't need those. Matter of fact, it's better to rip that shit out and go wooden beam and hearken to an earlier way of knowing with a capital K, so that you are more likely to trust what you know with a capital K. You are listening to your instincts, and we talked about that in terms of, you know, seeing the red flags on the horizon, but also not missing the green flags on the horizon, because it's when we deviate from our instinctual levels of knowing
that we get messed up. And we're going to talk about that for the next half hour, and then we're going to watch some news. I need you all to keep yourself on heightened awareness in case Trump does try to swarm a little harder, a little more dangerously, because
his megaphone's been taken away.
Because we all know when men with power and money are in tight spots, they do desperate things, and that sounds like danger and casualties for the rest of us. So, yeah. Hope everyone's cool with that. Broadway.
Yes.
What do you think about our topic of discussion for tonight and Monday? Are you excited?
I am excited. I think it's been something that we've all been talking about amongst ourselves and in our separate groups, but also I think I've had several conversations with you, you know, and I just had tea with someone the other day and we had the same conversation. So I think it's definitely something that's super relevant and something that we should go ahead and discuss and you walk people through and stuff. So I'm excited. Let's do it.
Do you think, or let me ask you something more essay answer as opposed to yes or no question. How do you regard personally chapters of chaos in your personal life and the way you personally practice your magic?
Okay, so previously, I mean, I am a, you know, recovering Catholic. So previously in moments of chaos, it was, you know, let's go to church, let's do the prayer thing. And actually, you know, on 9/11, I was in school and I was at a private school at the time. And as soon as it happened, like, they got on the intercom in the building, and they called everybody to the church right away. Now, I was in fourth grade. I had no idea what the hell was going on. Little did I know, chaos was erupting around me. And people I was at school with, they had family members in those towers. And I had no idea what the hell was going on. All I knew is that we were summoned to the church, and then our parents came to pick us up from inside that church. So that was, you know, that was kind of how I dealt with it before. Now, as a converted pagan, when I'm in moments of chaos, when I was starting out in paganism, I sat in that chaos because I didn't really know what to do with it. You know, things were out of, I felt like things were out of my control. I didn't really know what to do. I started trying to cast here and there, but things weren't really working. And it got kind of funky. It got a little weird. But at one point, something happened. I was in the middle of a whirlwind of chaos. I was unemployed. I couldn't find a job. My savings had been completely depleted. And I was like, you know, this is, I can't do this. This isn't happening anymore. I got to change something up. And something was like, well, let's take that and use it. So I did. I took that chaos and I used it in a manner that I didn't really understand at the time. I used my frustration and my anger and the chaos that I felt was all around me, and I focused it. And I took out my planners and I started writing some words down. I guess I did, and essentially I wrote an incantation, and I took my calendar and I wrote on specific days when specific things were going to happen. Those days come and those things happen. I got my interview at the place I wanted to work at. I got the job offer, and then I started work on all on the days that I had mentioned. And then from that point, I knew whenever I had chaos, I had to learn how to harness it in some way. I can't do it right off the bat. It takes some time, and I have to like learn where it's coming from first. But that's what I'm trying to learn more of, is how to work with it.
But do you?
Do I what?
Have to learn where it's coming from first?
I guess not. I guess I don't. No. I just know it's there, and I got to do something with it. Like, I'll be at work, and things will happen there, and I'll just, something will click in my head, and I'll be like, all right, no, we're not having a shitty day today, guys. Bradwick's got this. And then the rest of the day normally goes better, but, you know.
Well, and back to my point about 5-year-olds, have any of you ever been in a movie theater when the movie stopped for no apparent reason?
Oh, yes.
No? Okay. What happened?
I get irritated.
And parents invariably, and nothing makes me laugh harder because I'm 18,000 years old with a bunch of freaking kids, because the new parents are because they have no skill set. They stand up first. The dude bros don't yell. They go find the manager, but so does Karen. Anyway, there's other moms there that stand up and say, get that movie started again, please. Now we got to get that movie started again. And they start to break a fucking sweat. And it's because these little feral pagan animals who have not yet been programmed by the constructs of the Muggle universe know exactly what to do with chaos. Exactly. And they are living their best lives until Muggles shoehorn these little feral pagans into institutional school setting or family religion setting or, you know, abusive household setting. Do you see the point that I'm making?
Yeah.
Bradwick.
Yeah.
Bradwick,
yeah.
I swear.
Sorry, I have a sound delay.
NBC right now? Oh, I thought you were watching the news without me, and then I'm going to be real irritated.
Never.
But, so I'm going to ask Ashra, tell me about the changing nature of how you feel about just what do you see happening for you?
For me, I think I'm just realizing how important it is, especially when it comes to like setting boundaries for myself and
mm-hmm.
my life. I think I even want to tie it back into like periods of chaos. You know, before I think I just would try to get through it as easily as I could and try to ignore the chaos and kind of believe that I don't have any control of it at all. So why even worry about it? Because I don't have any control over it. And I think realizing
mm-hmm.
recently that I do have control over things, I just need to speak up
mm-hmm.
and take action and grow a spine. And it hasn't been easy. You know, even with you, setting a boundary with you that one time, that was very, very hard. I might have seemed easy.
I was so proud of you.
Yes, it was very stressful, but also very important. And I learned that nothing bad happened. It was okay to set a boundary.
See?
And we still love each other. And everything's fine. And,
and now we're talking about all that stuff on air.
Exactly.
So
and,
here's another
yes.
metaphoric question. Is it easier to join a street festival or slip in to an orchestra performance late? Which one?
To sneak into a street festival.
Right. Now, why is that?
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. And here's my point. It is much easier to slip into chaos than to assert a different order onto order that already exists, as is being proven by our international best friends from the country of Russia onto the American concept of democracy. Now, we're going to leave national news on national news. You all can read that for yourself. But where this has to do with magic and what Peach said about, you know, taking the reins of chaos and instead of being flipped out about it, saying, hold on, you know, I might be able to do something with this. I am here, we are all here, to say you absolutely, positively can do something with chaos. Matter of fact, it is easier if you deconstruct something first prior to constructing something. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Very good. Because inserting yourself into order, it can be done, but it's a higher level magic. It requires a different sight and listening. It requires a more diverse knowledge base. Chaos does not. Chaos is opportunity handed to you. Like, you can do anything with chaos because it is the definition of something unmade, not yet made. Okay? So that state of magic is as if you have all of the ingredients in your kitchen or all of the art supplies at your fingertips, and then you decide upon the meal and you thoughtfully assemble your ingredients and you do your thing. The same thing is true for spell work or will working, as I call it. But it is an ancestral art form. And you can take your ingredients, whether it is simply bare bones, just an incantation that you sing into the chaos, into your life, or whether you are assembling your ingredients to assist you in organizing what your will is to achieve those objectives. Because there are witches who are into herbs, or there are witches and occultists who are into hermetic magic, or there are certainly witches and practitioners that do divination or kitchen witchery, for sure, is all about ingredients and intention. Are you beginning to pick up what I'm putting down?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Plus, yes, yes. Now, here's the really cool shit, and I think, I mean, certainly I have had this conversation with the two of you, or the three of you, because our lead antagonist is listening intently. We have had conversations about dissolving yourself into your surroundings. It is much easier to do that if your context is chaos. Okay, here's metaphor number 97. A rolling boil of water or vaporous water like steam can carry the smallest particles of magic. For example, filling your own lavender hydrosol. Yes, another class that I teach. But it would be impossible to make a lavender hydrosol, which is the non-oil parts of lavender leaves that is, one, sterile, which means you have eliminated any bacteria that can destroy your hydrosol, and two, is the purest form of the scent of the plant. Essential oils themselves even require multiple kinds of distilling to make sure that they're pure, blah, blah, blah. So science and physics, entropy, lends itself to witchcraft. Okay, so a state of disorganization means that it is more easy for the noob
for the novice spellcrafter and any other type of practitioner to take the components that they see already present and in their environment and sing their incantation, do their incantation, and braid together these different ingredients into an outcome. It's easier to do that than it is to use ice to extract scent from a lavender leaf. Got that?
Yes.
Yes.
Are you guys still alive? Are you tripping? What's going on? Let's do a check-in. I'm worried.
I'm just taking it all in.
We're like sponges.
Yes.
I know what you mean. Both of you are sponges.
Me and
SpongeBob.
Bradley, the English majors. We're trying to take it in. We're learning.
Oh,
what the? Wait, whoa. Now I'm offended because I am not majoring in anything at the moment.
That's my girl. Neve, what are your thoughts on this? Because you're old hat. I have to keep a lid on you most times, but I'm going to let you go off for about, let's give you 180 seconds. Go.
Okay, I like your thoughts, and I like Astra's thoughts, and I like Bradwick's thoughts. And I think
you guys do a good job. Good. That's, yeah, we need to lay off of the chloroform, boo, before bed. that's probably not a thing you should keep doing. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. But what are your thoughts about chaos and order, Nev, before I move on?
I just don't think of them. I think it's a false dichotomy. I don't think that the two of them exist without each other.
Yeah.
And my relationship with order has always been, so as somebody with an anxiety and panic disorder and this weird PTSD thing that happens, my version of what logic looks like is like the next immediate steps that I'm going to use to keep me out of a panic or a blackout or any chaos just happens because I have this weird, like this weird little existence that I have, like just the way I was raised in the craft. And I mean, and your mother is Hecate. And so mm-hmm. I already was raised in the liminal space. So to me, it's never been existing in singular states of either order or chaos. It's always been kind of this, like this waltz, like a box step.
Mm-hmm.
I think that
press pause for a hot second. I think that's a good point to make, that we are discussing discrete extremes, and mm-hmm. that this tonight's topic is probably a topic that is more tailor-made to folks that are recovering from Abrahamic faiths and learning to be feral and learning to be liminal and learning to practice a Hecatean lifestyle, which is mm-hmm. undefinable, without boxes, through the clock on your wall. You don't get, you know.
I mean,
continue.
I just never had those boxes. And so it's so strange to me when, like, because I do have friends and family members who are, like, ex-Catholic or ex-Christian or ex-corporate, and they'll say
right.
something to me. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Just do it. Or just,
mm-hmm.
like, I'm not sure why you're focusing on that. And so, like, it befuddles me. And I try to spin it in a way that people don't get, like, offended, because I'm just so more psychologically evolved. Like, that's not what's happening. It's just a culture weirdness thing that's happening.
I am completely unfamiliar with your need for that shit.
It's, and so it leads to a lot of, like, comedic moments, because I'm just like, what do you mean Jesus Loves Me is a real song? And my mom wasn't just freestyling at the dining room table.
Like, no, I was.
No, you were.
The song Bat Beak. You're right. I knew it was an early parenting influence. It might not have been smart. I mean,
okay, but like all of your riffs were based off of like a commercial that was on at the moment, or a song that was on at the moment, or some kind of weird fucked upness from the 70s that you remembered just in that moment.
Correct.
And so, I don't know. It's just that, like, I never thought of it as chaos until chaos became something, like, that people say just, like, in conversation now. Before, it was just, like, a thing. And then it became part of, like, the everyday colloquialisms that that people just say casually. And so I it never occurred to me, because, like, my traditional understanding of the word chaos was in the mythological sense, like in our stories that you would tell us before bed about the time of chaos and, like, the era of timelessness and chaos before bed. Like, that's just what, like, I grew up on. And so what I experienced every day was not any kind of, it didn't occur to me to ever label anything as either order or chaos. It was, I don't like what I'm feeling right now. I'm going to change it. And it was just a call and response instinctual thing. Like, if I was feeling a way and I didn't like it, that was my sacred duty to myself and to you as my mother and to my community as a whole, that I fixed that.
Well,
and,
you know what that's called. You know what that's called, right?
I mean, I'm gonna say it's called witchcraft.
True. Personal empowerment.
Yeah, what you said.
Self-determinism / personal witchcraft. Agency. And guess what? You're not allowed to have if you are a adherent to the Abrahamic faith.
Pork?
Plus, here's another fun point before I give you another fun point, and then I give you the incantation for the evening, and then we're going to go watch Rachel Maddow. Do you think it was deliberate then, Neve, now that you're almost 23 years old, that's right, on January 11th, Neve will turn 23. Just saying. Do you think it was a good decision of mine to sing you songs, Chaos, and to tell stories of chaos as you were going to bed? Yes or no?
Yes.
Why?
I mean, I feel like there's a lot of ways to unpack that, but, like, the first and foremost, the easiest way I can explain that is, like, my feelings about it is that throughout my childhood, you would swear around us, like, curse. And say bad words.
Perfect.
Because the whole idea was that if you're exposed to something in a not scary way, then when it becomes scary when you're older, you've already been exposed to it, and you already know how to waltz. You already know how to box.
Yes.
And so, I mean, whispering stories to us about gods eating their children and stars collapsing in on themselves. And
I mean, that's normal, right?
It's not that it was normal. It's just, it was my normal. And not only a preparation, but it was sometimes I don't think of your parenting as intentionally trying to prepare me for my adulthood, but I think of a lot of it, I just think about as you just being excited to share the things that excite you. And I know for a fact that one of the things that excites you is in literary sense, and like throughout the Eddas and the sagas and the poetry and the oral traditions, the stories mm-hmm. about timelessness and a star clear void.
Yeah.
It's like that kind of thing, the amniotic fluid of nothingness and everythingness is exciting to you. And so,
mm-hmm.
I mean, just like the idea that you were never afraid of being a parent or fucking up your kids because you were just too busy being excited to be a parent. And so I don't
right.
really think of your, I don't think of your parenting as intentionally, I mean, in this case, in this specific sense, I don't think of the storytelling as intentionally trying to prepare us for stuff, but intentionally right. trying to share the things that you love with us. And
right.
that is one thing that I know that you love, is breaking down the barriers between false dichotomies and sharing
right.
with us the complexity of things. Because the world isn't black and white, and that's why we have color
correct.
Vision. And
correct.
That's what you shared with me. That's what you shared with me right. and all of my siblings through our lives.
Well, and it was my deliberate effort, as seamless as it was, my deliberate effort to make natural components of your worlds familiar to you. It was
mm-hmm.
I just had the damn word and then it left me, just packed up its shit and went. Culturation. A normalizing
mm-hmm.
of those things, which was why you guys were naked all the time. It's also, it's also why I talked about things like baby making, not sexual positions, guys. That's not what I'm talking about. Baby seeds and how they are grown and where they are kept. It's also why we talked about things like Summerland and the transitions from the non-corporeal to the corporeal and then back into the non-corporeal. Because those elements are part and parcel of the lives of Animalia, and they don't have to be terrifying. They don't have to be fearful. And I wanted to raise the four of you without those fears so that you saw the world as natural. You disarmed those subjects, and you were able to interact with those things magically without limitation or reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And though I was breathtakingly skilled with it, I actually was parenting deliberately. And I talked to you about without form and void, before you went to sleep, so that you would all see me comfortable with it,
mm-hmm.
because if a child sees its nurturer, its caregiver, as freaked out, scared, tense, and just riled up, that child adopts that fear. And so my intention was to show you that the floating and the drifting and the swimming in the ether, like very many creation stories include, was deliberately to acclimate you to what you would experience when you were sleeping and dreaming. so that you were not afraid, you were not startled, but also that you understood that you could do in your dreams what you could do in your lives, which was to take the ingredients you have of will and outcomes and objectives and characters and weave or braid together the stories you wanted to live. And that, back to the original point of the show, that the discomfort is rich and valuable, serve as a jumping off point to incite change and to point directly to dissatisfaction with where you are in your life. And that you can say, you know what? I'm not having this. No, you know what? I'm done. I'm drawing a line. I'm stepping over the line into this chaos, and I'm going to take this chaos right here. And these ingredients in my brain hole called, I want this outcome. I want this certain job. I want to get with so-and-so at the Beltane Festival. That you can make your life happen the way you want it to. The participation of people whose wants and desires are aligned with yours. And that your life, when properly aligned, will have reined into it all kinds of resources and allies. And it is a beautiful, beautiful thing to behold. And whether you are 5 years old or 50 years old, when you come to magic, you can make your life. You don't need to accept someone else's interpretation of your circumstances. You can undo any set of circumstances if you are but willing to see it creatively as a potentiality and not a deficiency. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, cool.
All right.
I'm going to do this. This was a really good appetizer, the rest of the show. And yes, all of our listeners to Incantation Nation, we're going to talk again on Monday, and we are going to have a full 2-hour show, because this is a topic, obviously, that can go on and on and on. And I am sure I will have more questions. I didn't get to any questions tonight that I got through text or through email. Sorry, drinking water. If you do want to send questions about chaos and order spell work and will working, you can send those to incantationnation2020@yahoo.com, and I will read through those, and if I can include them, I definitely will. Had to take another drink of water. I'm going to, and this is shockingly the shortest incantation I have written. Where did it go? It's called Ward the Brack. And if you don't know what ward means, W-A-R-D, Or if you don't know what BRAC means, B-R-A-C-K, you should write those down and research them because they are things. Cool? Cool. So this is Ward the BRAC. And yes, we are bringing Ashra Bradwick and Neve back on Monday evening for those that might be panicking that I will take these succulent humans away. I'm not. Tune the in-between for mischief-making with those unseen. From strangest corners mine allies crawl to bind my enemies under peg and all. Long darkness cures and loves me back. And then you summon hell and ward the BRAC. I have been your enchantress, Hedera Bindwood, with my lovely offspring, Neve Laughingbrook, and Peach, our lead engineer, and the lovely Ashra Softsorrows, who will join us again on Monday evening. Sound like a thing?
Oh, yes.
Sounds like a thing! All right, Bradwick, you want to take us to bed?
Certainly. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. It starts with a heart. She might be broken. Oh, but she ain't standing still. This is how it starts with a heart. Her power spoken. In a world that needs her will. This is how it starts with a heart. That keeps on beating. This is how it starts with a heart. Ain't no retreating. And she is more than enough. And this is how we go. She knows what the world's been needing. And all the shit that's on. This is how it goes, she knows what needs her healing. She ain't one to run away. This is how it goes, she knows mind, body, soul. Universe is in her grip. Break it down, watch it grow. She's gonna love it whole. This is how it starts with a heart. And she's just waiting for you to say yes with your own. This is how it starts with a heart. She might be broken, but she ain't standing still. This is how it starts with a heart. Her power's spoken. In a world that needs her will. This is how it starts with a heart that keeps on beating. Oh, well, I believe tough. This is how it starts with a heart. Ain't no retreating. And she is more than enough. All you know, all Just wait for you to say it.